At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. Now,
this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, what's going on? The Thursday on the Press Box. Nick's already chuckling at me. I don't care. I'm caffeinated. Feel good. Got 3 hours on the clock that we're going to entertain the hell out of you guys talking sports and other things. Stros with another victory last night. I liked it because it wasn't the typical blowout fashion where they just blow your doors off, get a big lead, run away and hide. They had to earn this one. And boy, did they. Sean Manaea with basically a perfect game except for one bad inning. And then he struggled just a little bit more with a guy that he struggled with all year. And the tuck wagon got him some.
I know. How about that? Put some respect on Kyle Tucker's name.
I don't kill him anymore.
Yes, you do.
I motivated the hell out of him, which I had to do early in the season, like I did last year. And yet he's been up and down, but he's been up enough that I don't kill him anymore.
Just so now like, you're Team Tucker.
He's on my team. I have to be Team Tucker. I've never said trade him as much as I've said it's time for him to pick it up a little bit, kind of like with Miles Straw. I never said trade him, but I would rather him be the reserve pinch runner defensive outfielder unless he hits the ball, and now he's hitting the ball, so he's fine where he's at.
Okay. And you must be super caffeinated. This is show number two. Two shows in a row. You don't start with the signature.
I did it.
What up, H-Town? No, it's like a variation. Like yesterday, you didn't do it.
Yes, I did. But
no,
I said a sentence first, and then I said, what
you
up,
H-Town?
You
took a shot at Charlie, then you did it, well, which is
like so effective that I need to do it more often.
And then again, today, you did not start with up, H-Town? No, you didn't. It was a weird what up, H-Town. You messed it up.
Why are you critiquing what? First of all,
every once in a while is fine. 2 days in a row, unacceptable. You got to stick to the what up, H-Town.
Who died and left you the master critiquer of my what up, H-Town?
It's not necessarily about me being the master critiquer. It's like keeping myself in the same routine. I have a routine.
You sleep for the last 2 hours, and then I wake you up with what up, H-Town,
yes,
and we go for 3 hours.
The exact same way. What up,
H-Town? It doesn't have to be the exact same way. It's whatever gets the job done. I got a complete facial expression change and a reaction out of you, which means I did my job. It doesn't matter how it gets done. It got done.
Okay. Well, since we're in a mood of just calling each other out and going at each other, why don't we call out this little small business deal? I just saw the story that you put on the rundown about the dress code being implemented at the Turkey Leg Hut.
Yeah.
That is so weird to me.
And they got real personal.
So apparently people are going up. And apparently another business has taken the same dress code that the turkey leg...
To support hut, them.
And they're enforcing it in their business. Mm-hmm.
To support the Turkey Leg Hut because they were getting backlash.
No now, baggy clothes, no revealing clothes. You can't show sports bras or panties. What kind of rules are that?
Here's the thing, too. I think that forever and a day, and when Washington Avenue first started picking up being the hot spot, this was a hot button. Because of the fact that you can't discriminate. And this is their way that they think legally
that they can do
they can discriminate. Uh-huh. And I remember that me and some of my buddies were going to Washington Avenue, and we were all basically dressed similarly, yet my African-American friends were told about wearing Jordans or jeans being too baggy or a certain style of polo, and I was like, time out. And, you know, me, I'm confronting them. I want to talk to the manager. I'm like, this is ridiculous. They're like, let's just leave. I'm like, no. And then it kind of parlayed into when Midtown was trying to still hang on. Midtown, and this was a big news story at one point, too, where Midtown was charging cover selectively. They were only charging cover, and it was expensive to those people that they really didn't want in their club, and they got caught with that too. And it's just like, what are we doing as a society when this is still a deal? Now, since then, the dress code that we're talking about for Turkey Leg Hut, they took it down, but ABC 13 captured it and they put it back on the internet.
Ah.
And since then they've changed the language a little bit. But I think it's a really, really slippery slope because as popular as Turkey Leg Hut is.
It is. Super popular.
Super
spot.
Popular. It can change in a heartbeat through word of mouth and something like this.
So the baggy clothes part, I don't quite understand. I do understand. I said it tongue in cheek, but the, you know, I guess sports bras, panties, no swimwear of any kind, no obscene language on clothing, no baggy clothing, no house attire, wave caps, do-rags, house shoes, shower caps. No excessively revealing clothing.
Is that not racist?
This includes distressed and ripped clothing. Yeah, it does sound a bit. And the whole do-rags and the Jordans thing, mm-hmm. like that has been in effect for quite some time. Now, me being a door guy, I actually can relate to the situations where they charge people more that they don't want in there, mm-hmm. or they do excessive charging. I've lived that. I'm not gonna say where, but
that's fine.
I live that.
What's the place next to the Red Door in Midtown with the upstairs? It kind of got renovated. I believe it used to be an alternative lifestyle bar, and then they made it into like a rooftop and upper lower level bar. They're the ones that got drilled for that. They got drilled and they did it on the wrong. They chose the wrong people to try and do it to. They chose some lawyers in town that were like, no, I don't think you can do this legally. And then they brought it to the news and they were going to take it further. And then the bar realized too late, maybe we probably shouldn't have done that, which you shouldn't have done it in the first place. But it's a really slippery slope that a lot of places, I guess, are evidently willing to take a flyer on. But you know what? It's just there's too much risk out there for whatever you think the reward is. And like the Turkey Leg Hut, the dress code that you were reading from, it's racist.
You think so?
Nick, how many white people have you seen wearing a do-rag or a shower cap?
But the Turkey, I've been there, and it's predominantly African-American, like, if that's what you're getting at.
No, I'm saying that's why what they're saying is they're directing it to African-American people and telling them what they can't do. They're not telling...
But does that make sense if that's a big part of your client base?
That's what I'm saying. It's not smart at all. It's not smart business. It's not smartly worded. It's basically racist and to some regards, people would look at it as being illegal. But they're doing it, so it's on them and the ramifications. And when it comes back at them, that's on them too. Because I couldn't believe it when I read the story.
Yeah, and so the other Taste Bar and Kitchen on Bagby has, I guess, they released a statement. And they said that it's kind of weak that they have to even address this, but they embraced the Turkey Leg Hut dress code. And I thought that was interesting. When I saw you put that on the rundown, I was like, you know what? This is kind of weird. Cause I've been to the Turkey Leg Hut and I've
popular
been
popular spot. And some people are calling us morons because the owners are black.
I know. I knew it was predominant. Yeah. I've been there before.
Right. And I have too. And the thing is, it doesn't matter what color you are. If you're sending this kind of message down, it's not a good look. It's not a clean across the board look. No matter how much you want to call us morons, I think it's the decision making and the fact that they put this out there without enough consultations with people in the know to realize this could backfire.
I mean, I don't know if it will. It is an interesting stance. It is kind of a dangerous stance, I guess, when you're kind of a popular spot. And if there's any type of negative press, that certainly can hurt your business. But I just thought it was interesting that they're I feel like, you know, just because it's kind of like when I went, it was very outdoorsy. A lot of the things that we were doing was outdoorsy. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be mad at someone pulling up to Turkey Leg Hut with a swimming suit on or a bathing suit on, because they're stopping by and then perhaps going to Galveston a bit later. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. that doesn't bother me. But I guess if you're a family-owned, family type of business and you have kids, maybe you don't want your kids to see some of that. I don't know how parents think. I'm not one. But I can see how some moms or some dads would not be happy with certain clothing wear because they don't want their kids to see it. Isn't that fair to say?
83249, you're going to get blocked real quick. Because you know what? I'm just bringing up what I think is an injustice. I think that it's an issue. And so we brought it up on our show because it was on our rundown because it's a story. And because Nick has lived it, as he has said to you, and I have too. And I know people that own bars. And I've had some pretty, based on when my friends got called out the way they did on Washington Avenue, I had some pretty harsh conversations with friends of mine that owned other establishments in Midtown and on Washington Avenue going, I'm not going to settle for that. I don't think that anyone should. I think that's wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been a big proponent, Joel, about letting small businesses and business owners run their business the way that they want. I've always been big on that. And I feel like when you get involved too much, I feel like it hurts things. But if you run your business your own way, you make your own rules. If your rules backfire, then that's on you, right? Like if you make rules or new rules or you enforce new rules on your business and that somehow backfires on you, and I'm not saying it is or well, or I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. I thought the dress code itself was interesting. But if you're going to be that person and you're going to start making new rules and those rules have a negative impact, guess what? That's on you. It's nobody else's fault but yourself. So and I'm not saying that's what's going to happen with Turkey
713.
Later.
And again, I'm going to encourage you guys, if you're going to text the show, put your name on it. Put your name at the end of it, and then we can actually reference you by name, especially when you have a good text. But someone said, I wonder if they would deny entry to celebrities if dressed the way that was deemed inappropriate based on their dress code. It's a phenomenal question because I know.
I've seen them do it.
I know Rockets players that have eaten there. I know Texans players that eat there. I would question if they would do something like that to a quote-unquote celebrity. Because my initial reaction would be, I don't think that they would.
I think I've seen, who's the local rapper here? He's kind of a Slim Thug not get access once years ago at Chrome.
I'm saying at the Turkey Leg Hut.
I mean, but it would be the same dynamic, right? If it has to do something with dress code, are you going to show some leeway in the event it's a celebrity or a local celebrity? And look, I would argue that, yes, probably, yes, that could possibly happen. But I have seen local celebrities get denied access as well. So it just kind of depends on the situation. And remember, that's not necessarily like a bar or a club.
Well, it's a restaurant for the most part.
Right. So is it racist? I don't know. But, you know, to me, if you want to make rules for your own business, by all means, you know what I mean?
And again, it's not illegal by the letter of the law, because as long as you post signage, because in talking to the owners of the guys that I know at other places, they know the rules. And they know that as long as they post signs that state we have the right to either refuse or deny service and or entrance based on the posted rules and codes. And the other key is the fact that you can have a differing in opinion. And that's fine. That's why we're having the discussion. But when you start it with, hey, morons, and hey, that's when you... So let's get all that clear.
Is this on Twitch or text?
No, this is text. But yeah, I was a little bit concerned by the way all of that came up and the language of the initial dress code. But to each his own, like you said, I mean, what remains to be seen is, hey, we've seen this across the board, across society these days. Yeah. If offended and word travels fast... There's going to be a lot of people that decide I'm not going there anymore.
I will say this though, man. I'm kind of glad my parents weren't like that. Like if we were at like when I was a kid and we were at a restaurant, Galveston, wherever bar, you know what I'm saying, and we're having food as a family, and I'm not gonna lie, my mom would be like, "You see what that woman is wearing? You see what that? It's so inappropriate, right?" My mom's a bit old school, but the last thing she'll do is make a complaint. Publicly complain, go to the owner and complain. Like, she will not do that. You know what I mean? So I guess to each their own. There's a bunch of complainers out there. There's nothing wrong with saying something within yourself, in my opinion, saying you don't appreciate it. If you don't like what you see and you don't want your kids to be there, guess what? Don't show up.
Right.
Order to go. You know what I mean?
You saw that. Part of their statements were that they're a family establishment where families with their kids. When you go there, there's not a lot of families. There's a long line, and it's a lot of people that kind of want to be in the hip scene.
Yep.
So, all right, we'll get going. Astros are underway. McCullers on the mound, runner on second base, and one out. Top of the first inning, looking for the sweep of the A's. Speaking of decisions to be made, and maybe if you choose not to go to a certain place or do a certain thing, it looks like a couple Astros have lined up now to say they've chosen not to. go to the All-Star game. I've got some thoughts on that. I'm sure Nick does too. Program starts this way. H.R.N.P. listener line is open. 713-780-3776. Call or text. If you're going to text, put your name on it. Therefore, we don't have to refer to you by area code. We can refer to you by your name, and we can speak to you directly. Otherwise, you know how to reach us on Twitch and also on Twitter, where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, together with the Press Box ESPN.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
I'm grateful for everybody that voted for me to be in the All-Star game. Baseball means, you know, the world to me, but I want to be with my family this time, especially with my wife. Spending this time with her. It's our first child, so I need that time.
So that's Carlos Correa pregame today, as he let everybody know he ain't going to the All-Star game. Followed up by news that Jose Altuve is also not going, which means that right now Michael Brantley and Ryan Pressly are the only two representatives of your Houston Astros at the All-Star game. Jacob DeGrom of the Mets.
I saw that yesterday.
Yes, came out yesterday and said he wasn't going. Now, Nick, the more I thought about this driving in and then listening to you and Charlie, the more I couldn't help but think, one, Daniela runs way too much of Carlos's life. But I get it. Okay. Two, if I'm the Astros, and it goes back to the discussion we had yesterday. If I'm the Astros, and I know that MLB, whether they admit it or not, and it's kind of like the way we started the program with the dress code issues. Whether they admit it or not, Major League Baseball is discriminating against the Astros on a nightly basis. If they do poorly or bad, it's all over. If they win their 11th game in a row, it's buried. They get to it at some point. If they have the best record in baseball going back a month, it's talk about the Mariners in second and why the Dodgers and Red Sox aren't better. And it's almost basically slid past and skipped over if you're the Astros. If the question even is in the back of your mind, is Altuve not going because of the backlash he would receive, and also knowing MLB hasn't exactly been supportive or promoting the Astros since everything came down, I don't know that I'd go either. And if I'm Ryan Pressly and or Michael Brantley, who have been to All-Star games before, it would almost be to where it'd be worth considering going, you know what? What if we didn't have any All-Stars there because they chose not to go because they're not happy with how baseball has treated them? That would be a statement.
It'd be a statement, but they might look like a bunch of babies if they do that too. And I don't know if you want to go down that road of doing that. And to your Altuve point, here's the thing I'll say about that. Altuve, if that's the case, I don't necessarily think that's weak. I mean, Altuve has been dealing with it from every road team, every venue in Major League Baseball. If he wants to take a break, guess what? I'm okay with it. I don't think that makes him weak. I don't think that makes him a wuss. If that's the main reason, I'm completely okay with it. It's a break. Okay, take a break. Take a break from the booze and still continue to play when you have some time off when you come back. And that's it. That's how I would do it. You know,
Here's the other sign, Nick, going back to what I was saying. If baseball's not going to support me, and it's got to be taxing going to every road game knowing the entire time whether I perform well or not, I'm getting the brunt of all of the negativity, no matter how much he's kicking ass and taking names. Why would I turn around and help them to promote their biggest promotional event aside from the World Series and do them a favor when they're not doing me any favors? You know, they constantly are pulling back and making sure that Ryan Spader, the latest one, anybody talking about other teams being involved in the cheating, that's a no-no. So leave them dangle in the wind and let Altuve be the poster boy. Why the hell then should I go out of my way, like you said, to spend more time, energy, and effort to spend 3 or 4 days in Colorado so that I can try and help you promote a game and a league that isn't trying to do a whole lot to help me. Yeah,
I get the underappreciation part, and I could see it that I don't know if that's the case, but I can totally, I'd be completely okay with it. The other thing is, does Major League Baseball feel like they're missing out in the event that the Astros, but they, in their minds, they may perceive the Astros that, you know what, we don't need the Astros stars because there's plenty of other ones that are playing in the All-Star game. We don't necessarily need Astros players to promote. Look, I'm just trying to give you all angles.
I love it. I love it. It's a great discussion to have because here's the thing. Evidently, Ayotte said AJ disagrees and said no one outside of the Astros are a small market and no one outside of Houston really cares all that much. That's total and utter BS because when you look across the league and look at Cleveland, as we just said, from the announcers to the fans with the signs and the garbage cans to everybody in and around that, the building that was around that series in Cleveland, they care passionately. We know the Yankees fan base cares on social media and at the stadium passionately. So much so that when they're getting their ass handed to them by the next team on their schedule after the Astros leave town and they're losing, they're chanting about Altuve. Okay? We know the Red Sox fan base cares passionately. So much so that when we kicked their ass all over the field and Altuve was hitting bombs, he was giving bats to the families of the kids that were calling them cheaters and taking pictures with them because he's a good dude.
Yeah.
But at a certain time, you go, okay, man, when's it going to, you know, enough is enough. And also, like, they continue to take the high road, and they're getting no help.
They have to.
I get it. But, Nick, okay.
Them speaking out only hurts their cause so much more. Believe me, if Altuve or any of the core, anybody from the core, Bregman, Brantley, you know Brantley's probably not going to say anything.
No.
But Altuve, dude, if he goes out and he starts to be vocal, he's not just
doesn't have to be vocal, but you don't think that if it would send the message whether they followed it up with a statement or not, and just no one from the Astros went
from him not. Oh, if no one went, maybe. I mean, if they went, it would be a statement if they said this is the reason why we're not showing up. I just don't know if Major League Baseball would care enough. That's my concern. And the last thing you want to do is try to send a statement that just goes hollow.
I don't think it goes hollow. I think it does, and I don't think it goes unnoticed. And in fact, I think from a media standpoint, it would get more coverage than the Astros have gotten kicking ass and taking names playing the game of baseball for the last 3 months. I think that that would be a story. I think that that would be something that would be discussed throughout the home run derby and the game and everything surrounding it. And I think that that would at least get dialogue started to go, I mean, look, they're not cheating anymore. They're the best offensive team in baseball. They're one of the best teams in baseball. Most people think they're the favorite in the American League. It's about time we start giving this team its due. And look at the guys that have missed time this year, and yet they haven't missed a beat. Bregman's still out. And we talk about the guys that have missed from COVID and otherwise, and it goes right up and down the list with Uncle Mike with a couple of stints and Altuve with some stints, Yordan with some stints. But yet the consistent factor is they keep winning. But no one knows because they just want to talk about everything but. So this would give them reason to talk, put the Astros center stage, but also realize if it's going to be us against the world while we're playing, might as well make it us against the world all the time. I don't give a rat's ass about the All-Star game.
And I'm okay if the Astros have that mentality. I'm okay with you continuing to take the high road and just worried about playing. Because you know what? As a fan, that's what I want to see. All right? But don't, you know, if taking the high road is absolutely killing you, there's only, like I said, I'll add another solution. Number one, you win the World Series. Yep. Another possible solution is you get off the team. Do you want to leave and not be an Astro anymore? That's the only two. That's the only two ways that you're really going to stop all this stuff.
It is truly them against the world. I don't think they got any problems with being on the team and the camaraderie and the
togetherness. I don't think so either.
Right.
I think they want to be on the team. But if you really want, if it's bothering you that much, that's the only two ways to shut people up: win a World Series or don't play on this team. And I don't think they want. I think they want to stay on this team, and I think they want to win a World Series. So they're going to have to take the high road. And the other thing is, I love to take shots at Major League Baseball when they do stuff like that. If I think it's fair, if I feel like they're treating the Astros unfairly, I love to point that out. Mm-hmm. But to a certain extent, it is beyond their control because it's the media people around Major League Baseball as opposed to Major League Baseball that continues to push that narrative.
But I tell you, MLB Network, when I watch it every night, and I told you the examples with ESPN, MLB Network, the NLB.com, they constantly look for the next best story. They're not, at a certain point, whether it's a conspiracy theory or it's fact, you really start to notice it going. And like I said, when they're promoting the second, third, and fourth teams with the second, third, and fourth best records, including the Dodgers and the Red Sox, all below the Astros at number one. And they make one quick blurb about, oh, the Astros are at one. But let's talk about the Mariners who were playing that night, and I get it. But then they spent a whole lot of time talking about the Red Sox and the Dodgers, why they aren't higher, what they're doing wrong, the fact that they've been struggling with injuries. Have you not looked at who the Astros have had injured?
Yeah. No, it's true. I don't worry about it too much because then you always end up being the whining, complaining biznatch. Every time you go down this road and you say that, you become the whining. And that's not what brought this team back together and made them a good team again. What made them a good team again was they stuck together. They dealt with all the hard issues and the tough conversations, and they stuck together as a team. And so that's what the high road is the right way right now for the Astros. Hard, tough to do it. 162 game season, really, really tough to do, but just something you have to do. Now we played a little bit of Carlos Correa coming out the break in regards to him. He also talks about how tough of a decision it was for him to pull out of the All-Star game.
It's a tough decision, man. Like I said, you know, people voted for me to be in it. People want to see me play in it. But, you know, we've been trying now for a long time to have our first child, and now that it's finally there in her belly, I wanna be able to spend those days with her and, you know, get to go through the whole experience, go to the doctor's appointment, see the baby and the sonograms and everything. So, you know, I really want to enjoy that part.
I don't disagree with him in the fact that this, you know, evidently, and they don't owe it to us like a lot of people think, because even someone with the next question was like, well, is everything okay with the baby? Is there anything medically wrong? I mean, it's none of your business. You know, if he wants to stay home and do whatever he needs to do to prepare for the baby's birth in November, that's his prerogative. I think that's also where baseball puts a lot of pressure on you, and not just baseball, all the big sports. When you're selected to an all-star team, it's like you better have like six different references to the reason why you're not going to play and not going to go. And I don't think it should be like that. I think that it's dangerous now because you have the best pitcher in baseball in Jacob DeGrom saying no. You got two Astros today saying no. You wonder if more people are going to say, hey, look, this season's a grind. You know, and of the guys we're talking about, DeGrom, as I heard Charlie say, has had multiple bouts with nagging injuries. We know Correa's got a history, plus he's trying to play for a new contract. The last thing he wants to do is take this time, quote unquote, off to travel some more and follow a hectic schedule, only to fly right back to go to your next game when you get done with the break. I don't play, and again, from Altuve's standpoint, Nick, it has nothing to do with physical injuries. Mentally, it has to be so taxing. He's handled it so well, but it cannot be easy going city to city and getting crapped on.
No, it's got to be annoying. It's got to be taxing, like you said, and it's got to be annoying. But like I said, there's very little that Altuve can do.
All right, so that's the first half hour of the program. We've got plenty more to get to. Astros are down 2-0 yet again, giving a lead to the A's, spotting them some runs after their first at bat. So you got that on the agenda, and we'll continue to keep you filled in on all of it. But for the time being, we're going to take a break and get you back to the show. Do want to tell you about the good people at Cars for Kids, because it's a fantastic program. And I've told you guys about this for a long time now. We're telling you about them again. The fact of the matter is, if you've got a vehicle, whether it be a motorcycle or a boat or a car, and it's just, you know, collecting rust and dust, it's sitting in a field somewhere, you haven't been able to get rid of it, you don't know what the heck you should do, and you want to possibly get something out of it, I got something for you. All you got to do is contact Cars for Kids. Simply put, you contact Cars for Kids because of the fact that they're going to do everything that you didn't want to do. They're going to come to you. They're going to get the vehicle. You don't even need a title for it, and they're going to take care of it. And then once they get it off of your premises, if you mention ESPN 97.5, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get a $50 Visa gift card. And then you're going to let the process go from there, because the process is fantastic. Once they get the vehicle, they use it to generate funds so that kids can get a second chance at an education. And on top of the second chance at an education, it also helps the schools that are trying to do the same thing. So with that being said, it's the perfect opportunity for you. You go to carsforkids.com and you check out exactly what they can do. The benefit is Houston Can Academy. Check them out. It's a great program. Donate something today and realize that you will write off the car and not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Well, two doubles in the first inning given up by Lance McCullers lead to a 2-0 deficit. Top of the second inning, Tony Kemp at the plate as McCullers continues to pitch on. Astros went quietly in their first at bat. So top of 2-0 in favor of the A's. Astros looking for the sweep after yet another great effort last night. What I really liked about that game last night, Nick, before we completely move on from any of the Astros dialogue, is the fact that it was a tight ball game. And you obviously saw some struggles yet again, going down early, facing a pitcher that had great stuff, that was the reigning pitcher of the month, that has had a lot of success against key members of your offensive lineup. And then you capitalized on, unlike in the past, where we've constantly talked about the number of runners left on base, and the number of times that even as good as this offense is, that it does leave a lot out there and they don't capitalize a lot of times when they have guys in scoring position. Last night, they did exactly what they had to do because I said Sean Manaea was on his game, but when they saw an opportunity, they seized it. The Altuve home run set him up beautifully with a 2-run lead, 3-1. And then even after, Garcia was good, not great. And Javier obviously had, I'm not going to crap on Javier because he's been too good all season.
Right.
Everybody's entitled to have a bad outing.
Absolutely.
But he obviously didn't have it, right?
No, not last night, not yesterday at least. And that's fine. And you know what? I'm not too worried about Javier. Let him have a bad game. It's against the A's, a good team. It's not like he crapped a bed against a bad set of bats. So I'm completely okay with that. I have no problem with that at all.
But they did it so many different ways, right? So because it wasn't a blowout, so they didn't get out to a lead where they could coast,
yep,
they had to kind of grind. Yep. So what did they do? Defensively, bases loaded, nobody out. Brantley not only makes the catch in shallow left, but I think most times teams will run on Brantley because they think not only does he not have a great arm, but he normally doesn't like to make the throw. Not only does he make a throw, it's absolutely spot on perfect. And they get Liriano at the plate. And now you got two outs, and you're dodging a massive bullet. Because
That was probably the best play of the game.
Yeah, that was the play of the game, because without it, that inning has a chance to cough up 3-4 runs,
exactly,
and just completely put it out of reach. Then you're in a tie ball game late, which normally you're facing some good closer, some relief pitchers leading up to a closer. We've seen tight games for the Astros in the past. And right away, a no-doubter by Kyle Tucker, and you're like, wow, now it flips back over from offense to defense. Now you're like, can they hold on to it? Stanek does his job. Again, Presley does his. Boom.
I mean, for the most part, this team is balanced outside the pitching. And look, just like you mentioned, Stanek did his job. And if they do their job, then it just makes the defense have a lot less pressure, in my opinion. And that's what happens. So good for them. I mean, good for this team. And now the Astros are down 2-0. Maybe they can have another comeback win. It's the top of the second. Now, I don't know how the police in France frisk people, but it looks like your boy James Harden is being, now I'm not going to use the word harassed, but he was, I guess, semi-detained, and he was frisked by the police in Paris. I'm about to tweet out the video at the producer, Nick. What the hell is James Harden doing in Paris, and why is he getting in trouble?
Why is he wearing his pajamas, too? Did you see that? I saw the one video where him and Lil Baby, we're like walking down this dark corridor, and they come out to the end of like the corridor, and it's light out, and all of a sudden it's like they're completely taken aback because there's all this paparazzi, and they just start filming and taking pictures, and they're just standing there, and they're looking at each other like, where'd these guys come from? What's going on here?
Lil Baby's there. Him and Lil Baby.
He got arrested, I believe.
But what do we know why?
No, I did not hear why. I saw people talking about the fact that Lil Baby was arrested after he and Slim Jim got caught with their pants on, but completely unexpected paparazzi while walking around with their fashionably cool clothing. James Harden was wearing some, it literally looked like pajamas.
It looks like brown sweats is what it looks like.
Well, the one I saw, he had like really straight legged, but very, very oversized, like red pants and like a really baggy kind of a off-white pullover top that I thought was like, wow, he's getting ready to take a nap.
It looks like sweats. It looks like he's wearing sweats and a jacket. I guess it's a little bit cooler there in Paris right now because everybody seems to be in long sleeve attire including the police. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I just
want to know if there's something crazy that happened. I'm just dying.
But it also answers our question, Nick. We thought about it yesterday when we said, do you think, Nick, when people were asking us, you think Harden's watching the finals, when we said it's got to be painful for him to sit there and have to watch Chris Paul.
You watching it from France?
We thought he was in Brooklyn at a strip joint with a big screen TV. Instead, he's in France. So I don't know if he's watching it.
They got strip clubs in France, too, I'm sure.
I think he has social media enough to realize who's in the finals. And ironically, you think about, we're talking about Chris Paul, but also, who's the superstar in the league that hates Harden the most? Plays on the other team. Giannis Antetokounmpo has made no secret of the fact that from the All-Star games, the selections for those teams, in the All-Star game when they said, what was the offensive strategy? And he said, whoever Harden was guarding, give them the ball. The fact that he threw that cross-court pass that hit Harden in the dome and said he didn't do it intentionally, but people kind of thought he did it intentionally. Kind of ironic that all these things are in the Harden Bowl of the NBA Finals.
Yeah. How popular do you think James Harden is in France? Like, do you think he's getting recognized out there? Like, they've got a big basketball base, right? Fan base there.
Yeah, I think so.
That follows the NBA?
Yeah,
No?
Yeah.
Nothing like China, I would imagine.
No, I think in China, it's the biggest NBA following you can find. But, you know, European basketball is big. And they have, you know, teams in France and Italy and across Europe. I think that basketball is still big. I think that obviously when you look at global jersey sales and things like that, I think everybody, and with the Adidas brand too, I think everybody knows who Harden is.
Okay. I was just curious because I don't know how recognizable or how popular some of these stars in the NBA here are overseas. I guess it depends on the country too, but NBA has pretty much traveled well and extended and expanded its business globally a long time ago now. So I feel like it continues to grow. But I'm just really hoping, not that I want anything bad to happen to James Harden because I'm not that person, but I do want it to be kind of a funny story. Like he got busted with something random or he was trying to do something stupid while he was intoxicated just because it's funny. Like he'll be fine. It's not like he won't get out of jail unless he did something crazy.
Yeah. Well, so he's traveling abroad. God, I hope the hamstring's okay. It was enough to keep him out of the Olympics, but not to keep him out of hanging out with Lil Baby. Kanye was there too. Did you see that? Did you see the controversy with that? So then Kanye shows up. Kanye's wearing a mask, not like a COVID mask, like a full over the head mask along with all, you know, very, very non-concealing, very, very kind of overly covered clothing. He's wearing a version of his slip-on shoes. But the controversy is because his deal for his shoes is not with Nike. He was wearing Nike socks. And so then he should be facing ramifications for that. However, they're saying his out is you can't prove that it's him because he's wearing full headgear. So he's going to get away with it, although that's what people were focused on. Because so Kanye is there as well, too, with all the fashion festivities going on.
What is Kanye doing these days? He must be an absolute disaster.
That model, isn't he?
Yeah, because
that's what he's doing, right?
I would imagine.
Because he moved on from Kim and there's pictures.
Or did Kim move on from him?
Probably the latter. Because he was not exactly acting stable at all times.
That's got to be, I mean, if you're not James Harden and you're just a regular dude visiting France, that's got to be scary, right? You don't know. I don't know. I don't want to be arrested by no police department in another country.
Well, but I don't know.
Like, what's jail like over? Like, what's an overnighter over there?
James, he's a cheapie, but no, because the team.
How is he a cheapie? He makes like $50 million a year.
He doesn't take care of anybody. He makes the team pay for his security guy. But then he makes the security guy go with him to Europe and wherever he goes, and that keeps him from having to deal with the police directly. Yeah, because I know the security guys that used to not get paid by James that lived in just deplorable conditions, but had to go whenever James said, "Let's go, we're going to Vegas."
Interesting. So, yeah. Well, right. I tweeted out the video at the producer Nick. I just thought that was crazy. I just saw it. I had no idea.
See what Kanye was wearing? You got to look that up.
No, I want to.
Yeah, go, look that up during the break. You're gonna go like, what in the world is going on there? All right, what's going on at Minute Maid Park is it's still 2-0 in favor of the A's. Astros batting bottom of the second. We got plenty more to get to on the program. We got finals game 2 tonight. We've got lots of other things on the agenda. It always involves you guys, so Give us a text, give us a call, give us a Twitch response, or hit us up on Twitter. And remember, if you're going to text, put a name on it. Back with a whole lot more. It's the Press Box, ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
The musical genius that is Stevie Wonder. Thanks to Charlie Polillo's stupid unwritten rules that has gotten in Nick's
not,
head.
I'm not.
We're playing the instrumental version.
I'm playing the instrumental version because I want to play the instrumental version. I'm not asking for Charlie Polillo's.
There's a line in the song, Nick, that refers to your relationship with Charlie Polillo.
Polillo?
Yeah.
The toothpick.
The line is, if you believe in things that you don't understand, and I believe that you believe in Charlie even though you don't understand him.
Sometimes I don't understand what he's doing.
See?
But, I mean, he has. But sometimes I do understand what he was doing. You know, I did tell him about Bobby Dynamite's birthday. He had no clue. I'm the one who had to tell him.
Does he know who Bobby Dynamite is? Because I do.
He did know.
He's the conductor on the train.
He did know.
Okay.
He did know. But I was just shocked that he didn't know it was his birthday. I figured he's like on the birthday websites like every day looking for somebody's birthday, whether it's Babe Ruth or Stan Musial or whatever the hell. Or Musial. I'm sorry.
Musical's fine.
The guy played baseball and a harmonica, dude. I don't care. Okay, whatever. Don't get me started. Don't get me started. Since we were talking, a little NBA in regards to James Harden, did you see Adam Silver address the whole Maria Taylor and Rachel Nichols situation?
Yeah.
I could play the clip for you and have you respond.
I think we should start with the clip because I think it's interesting because, again, so many thoughts going through my head when I listen to this, and I obviously use you as a sounding board. So play it, then we'll talk about it.
Beyond that, I will say, you know, apropos of my earlier comments, I think it's particularly unfortunate that two women in the industry are pitted against each other. You know, it's, I know that, you know, both Rachel and Maria are terrific at what they do. You know, they work extraordinarily hard. And as I said, I think just from the league standpoint, we recognize, well, ESPN's operations are independent of us. I feel we're all part of a family here in terms of what we do around our sport. And I hope, you know, I think part of the problem is that, as I said earlier, when people can't get in a room and talk through these issues, this seemingly has fostered now for a full year. And this is an incident that happened, I guess, when Rachel was in the bubble a year ago. And I would have thought that in the past year, you know, maybe through some incredibly difficult conversations, that ESPN would have found a way to be able to work through it.
I mean,
okay, so Nick, here's the thing. Later in that same soundbite, he says, I don't think we should criticize a person for screwing up and saying the wrong thing one time. I thought right away, like, Donald Sterling. And you let him until you had to have the emergency meeting of owners to get him out.
Yeah.
Like, well, there's so much to digest there because
yeah, that's a good the
other
point.
Thing, and the other thing was, yes, those comments happened a year ago, but there were two separate occasions. One, while she was actually in the bubble, then this one that came out with separate conversations with others, which meant she was out there spraying bullets wherever. It wasn't like you and I had spoken about, if I'm going to air this out, I'm going to air it out with you, my wife, you know, people that I feel are close friends of mine, confidants I can trust. I'm not airing it out with LeBron's PR guy. I'm not airing it out with a producer that, yeah, I see him at work and I work with him when we're doing a show here or there or when we're on remote. But I don't know them, and I don't know that if I say this to them, they're going to have my back and not run with it recorded going, hey, management, here's what we got going.
Yeah, and I think going back to that example that you gave about Don Sterling, mm-hmm. just off the top of my head, the only thing that I can think about that's different is I imagine if you're the owner of an NBA team, you have to pay some sort of fee for being an NBA to the NBA. In other words, there's probably some sort of value or payment that you have to pay to the NBA for being an NBA team. But I would imagine it's nowhere near the number. If that's true, it's nowhere near the number that ESPN is paying the NBA, right?
Right.
For its TV deal. Right. And so maybe that has something to do with it. I'm not saying Adam Silver only makes his decisions based on money, but ESPN is certainly, their relationship is super important to the league.
So the way the TV deals work is each team gets a fraction of it.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, whatever the league gets, every team gets a piece of. So there are fees that the teams have to pay for certain things, but at the same time, it's dwarfed by how much money they're bringing in from the TV deals and all the different revenue streams. I also found it interesting that he basically, without telling them how to run their business, told them how to run their business by saying, this is where you should have some in-person meetings and you should all be locked into a room and get it all out on the table and air it all out so that you can go forward. Now, the NBA is great about telling other people how to do things. That doesn't always happen in the NBA either, where there's disputes and issues and things going on. But I don't think they actually just go into a room, hammer it out, and then go, we're good. Everything's good going forward.
Yeah, it probably got too ugly to the point between them that I don't know if talking it out would have worked. I felt like talking it out may have worked in the event there was some sort of like mediator. Maybe there's like a supervisor involved. He's in the room. She's in the room. They're talking it out. But everything that I've gathered on Twitter, online, I don't think Maria Taylor wants a relationship with Rachel Nichols at all. At least that's what I've seen right now.
She finally posted on social media yesterday. Did you see that?
And she addressed it?
No, she didn't. She kind of did.
Okay.
She basically kind of sidestepped the Rachel Nichols part of it to say that, and we can find the actual verbiage, but it was essentially saying through every dark tunnel that you're in, you find the bright light to go forward. And she realizes that she's carrying the torch for a lot of people, and it's her job to go forward, to be positive, to keep doing what she's doing, and more power to her. She didn't ask for this smoke. She didn't ask to be brought up. And that's why I said it's like when we talk about the fact that Baker Mayfield was one of the last ones that was notoriously called out for saying, don't talk about other people's money. Don't talk about other people's contracts. Well, that's what Rachel Nichols needs to learn, too. Don't bring someone else into this because it's your issue. It's not hers. They're asking her if she wants to be promoted. What's she going to say? No. At the same time, they're asking you to step aside. I understand how you should have issue with that. But have issue with them. Don't have issues with her.
Right. And I didn't know. I mean, everything that I saw was that, and everything that I heard in that particular audio clip was her criticizing the employer and not Maria Taylor. Obviously, there's some things behind closed doors that perhaps we didn't know about. And there's some heat because this is, like you said, this is kind of festered. This is kind of going on for a long, long time. And when it's lasted that long, I feel like it's harder to find some sort of resolution. So, look, it's...
It's not often I agree with Ayotte, Nick, but I was going to add, because I was going to throw it out there to the listeners and say, I know that I'm drawing a Joel here, a blank, and I'm not thinking of the last like controversial topic where the league didn't take their own advice. I kind of think it was the league versus China after the Twitter controversy. I didn't see them getting in the same room and hammering it out to make sure that it was.
No.
And I saw China boycotting the NBA for a long period of time, and it might still be going on.
And look,
I saw the NBA running from it.
He was very tiptoey when he was addressing that. He's like, he had to kind of defend your boy Daryl Morey when he sent that tweet. He had to, because morally, ethically, Daryl Morey was right.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So,
but financially, not a smart move.
All right, one final thing, because we're running up against the break, and I just want to ask you about this guy because I think you've crossed paths with him.
Okay.
And Kendrick Perkins has. Heavily endorsed him as a potential candidate for an NBA head coach. Mark Bryant, do you remember him from playing?
Big Mark's a great dude.
1995, 1996. I remember him playing completely.
He was part of the Barkley trade.
Exactly. Completely forgot about Mark Bryant, to be honest with you. But he's an assistant coach, and Kendrick Perkins has heavily endorsed him on Twitter. What say you? Is he good enough? Is he qualified?
He's done a hell of a job. He's highly regarded by so many people because of the fact that with big men, but also he carries a lot of weight without having to say a whole lot. He's soft-spoken. He's quiet, but when he speaks, people respect him. He really knows how to coach up the bigs. He was with Oklahoma City when they were at their best with Durant and Westbrook and Harden and all those guys. Everywhere he's gone, he's been highly regarded. And I think he's a guy that would bode well for wherever he, you know, his next stop might be. He is currently on the Sun staff, and he is getting credit for a lot of what DeAndre Ayton has been able to do in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I couldn't say enough good things about Mark. I had Mark Bryant as a player in Portland and then through Houston, and then with his coaching, I've always known Mark. He used to live here out by Sugar Creek. He's a great dude.
Good. 56 years of age, has been an assistant, and apparently he's highly respected. Kendrick Perkins takes to Twitter to endorse him, and guess who he gets support from? Kevin Durant quote tweets it and says, talk about it. So
KD, man. I don't know if he had him in OKC.
I don't know if they're going to – this plays well for Rachel Nichols, though. You know, if this is what they're doing, I think this hurts her. Like, if she still wants to be whatever it is that she's doing, whether it's sideline or not, I don't know if this helps her cause.
How do you mean?
Because they're going to continue to push, you know, what we need to be NBA and ESPN. They're not diverse enough. They're not diverse enough. They're not diverse enough. And that's exactly what Rachel Nichols said in the audio clip. You're bringing her in because you have a bad
record.
But she says,
leave me out of it, but go ahead and do it somewhere else.
Yeah, so I think
while she's referencing their bad track record.
It hurts her, I think. I thought she'd be fine.
But you also realize she was smart enough to say she's trying to play the I'm in the minority because I'm a female.
Right.
And so I experienced sexism.
I didn't know she was related to, is it Diane Sawyer?
I just heard that when yesterday or whatever, when some of the comments were coming out. I did not know that either.
I'm not saying that's why she got the gig, because apparently she was a reporter first and she really had to prove herself.
She's annoyed me for years.
I know
the fact that, you know, certain people have to sign off their reports the same way every time. You see it locally and nationally. But forever and a day, when she was just reporting for ESPN, she always sat on the air.
You hate the way she says that.
Rachel Nichols, ESPN. Oh, drove me nuts.
Does she really, like, extend the N like that?
Yeah, she used to, anyway.
ESPN, like that?
You know who had the biggest crush on her in the world? He may still do.
Although we talked about
him. He's highly religious now. Yeah, Matt Jackson.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, Cougar Matt Jackson. I actually, you want to see someone squirm live on the air? At Media Day one year at the Toyota Center, Rachel was in town, and we all knew how much he had a thing for her.
Uh-huh.
And so I was bringing players as guests over them to interview. And all of a sudden, I got another one for you, Matt. Just hang on a second. And all of a sudden, Rachel turns the corner and gets ready to sit down. Bro, I mean, it's almost like he had Tourette's syndrome. He's twitching. He's like sweating. He's like turning red.
Was it really like that?
Oh my God. I was like, you okay? And it just like,
who is this again? Matt?
Matt Jackson.
I don't remember what he looks like completely, though.
He and Wex used to do shows on 790, Adam Wexler.
But I do remember him sitting here.
And he filled in. We had fun with him. Yeah. But yeah, Action Matt. Do you have someone like that? We'll talk about it after the break. Do you have someone that you have either a crush on or have looked up to so much so that it would cause that kind of reaction? Because I don't think I do. We'll talk about that. Second hour comes up next. It's Press Box ESPN.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.